tonight, we still want to still focus on putting it all together, the different aspects of your mind, imagination, emotions, your will, your intellect. I hope you've been learning a lot about your mind and how important the mind is. We have so often left the mind out of the process of walking with God, but it should not be left out. The only access that Satan has to you is through your mind. Now, that's a mouthful because, listen to me, that's a mouthful because of the five aspects of the mind, that means there's five different ways Satan can access you. He can access you through your emotions, through your will, through your intellect. He can access you through your memory. And so he has five ways that he can access you. But we're going to start off in James, the fourth chapter. And we're going to go to also Romans, the 12th chapter. But here in James, the 4th chapter, in the 7th verse, he says something here. James says something. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is a process. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's a three-step process. If you want the devil to flee from you, then you have to resist him. The only way you're going to resist him is if you submit yourself to God. Yourself meaning your spirit, your soul, and your body have to be submitted to God. Submitted to God simply means this. Whatever God says about me, that's what I'm going to yield to. Whatever thoughts God has for me, that's what I'm going to yield to. Whatever emotions he has set for me, that's what I'm going to yield to. Whatever memories he has set for me, that's what I'm going to yield to. When I submit myself to God, I am then empowered to resist the devil. The easiest way to put this is science. Oil and water can't mix, right? No matter how hard you try, you can take a bottle of just an empty bottle, put half of it oil, half of it water. You can shake it up, move it around, whatever you want to do. You can't make a mix. So if I'm submitted to the all of God, then that means I can resist the water of the devil. Is that making sense? See, I have to be one or the other. It can't mix. You can't do both. So if I submit myself to God, which means my memory, my emotions, my will, my intellect, are submitted to God, my spirit is submitted to God, Satan has no access to it. If Satan don't have access to it, that means it's easier to resist him because he has nothing to attach to. My will is not shot, if you allow me to say it that way. My will is, I can make a decision to resist the devil because I am submitted to God. When I'm submitted to God, that means I am influenced by him. I am overcome by him. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Before we can ask what we will, we have to be submerged into the Father, into his word, into what he says about us. When that happens, I can resist the devil because there's no room for him. And then he has to flee because now is a waste of his time to hang around. Why? Because I'm not hearing nothing he says. Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is Paul writing, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, there are some preconceived notions that's supposed to take place that Paul is assuming has already taken place for him to say this. Because if I'm supposed to present my body as a living sacrifice, if my spirit is the king, right, and my mind is the manager, my body is the slave, my mind is the servant, and my body is the slave, that means that my spirit and my mind already have to be presented to God before my body is presented. Because my body only follows my mind. My mind has to be told it's going to follow my spirit. I hope you get this, internet. So if that's the case, Paul is already assuming that your spirit is submitted to God, that your mind is submitted to him. So now the last thing to do is tell a slave the body to submit. Present your body as a living sacrifice. He goes to verse 2. These are familiar scriptures we're reading. Very familiar scriptures. He goes to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not that just because you've submitted your mind, does it mean that your mind has been renewed. They got people that have submitted their minds to God, but they haven't let God renew their minds. If the mind does not become renewed, it remains a doorway for which Satan can access everything else. The mind has to be renewed. If it's not renewed, then it still leaves Satan leeway to get access to you and to the plans of God for your life. I hope you're understanding this. Hope you're getting this. Paul is under the assumption that our minds and our spirits are already submitted to God. So by it being submitted to God, that means submitting to God simply means that I am opening myself up for God to influence me the way he wants to influence me. See, there's no such thing as being in neutral. You're going to be influenced one way or the other. Listen, somebody's going to shape your thinking. Somebody's going to shape your thinking. The power that we have is to choose who is going to shape our thinking. That's the power we have. We have the power to choose who is going to shape our thinking, because everybody's thinking and belief system is going to be shaped by somebody. So either we can allow it to be shaped by God, or we can allow it to be shaped by the enemy. When I submit myself to God, that means I'm allowing God to shape my memory. Take away those memories that are not productive for me. I'm allowing God to shape my intellect. I'm allowing God to influence and shape my emotions. I'm allowing God to shape my will. Thine will be done. Not my will, Father, but thine will be done. Matter of fact, that's one of the prayers that Jesus prayed. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's total submission to God and his ways of doing things. When you do that, Satan has no room for anything or any access to your mind. The issue is we give Satan access to our minds when we don't submit ourselves to God. That's James 4 and 7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. Now, he ain't going to go forever. He's not going to leave forever, internet. He's just going to leave at that moment, but he's coming back. So that's why the Apostle Paul keeps telling us in Romans, the 12th chapter, the second verse, that we cannot become conformed. And be ye not conformed. I'm glad the way Paul wrote that, because Paul wrote that centuries ago, but he wrote it in the present tense, meaning we can read it. You can read it in 2015. You're going to be able to read it in 2016 and 2017, and it's still going to maintain its present moment relevance. And be not conformed to this world. I'm glad Paul did not say be not conformed to the medieval ages. I'm glad Paul didn't say be not conformed to the agrarian age, because those are time sensitive. He said be not conformed to this world. So whatever the world morphs into, we can't conform to it. We have to be transformed from it. Transformed means made different. How? By the renewing of our mind. The renewing. So that means our mind gets old and we have to renew it. We have to make it fresh again. So then faith, Romans 10, 17, turn there. How do I renew my mind? Because stay in Romans the 12th chapter, because this is going to help us. Because we can't get deeper into the supernatural by trying to live off 20-year-old revelations. All right? Watch what it says. It says, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Go with me to Romans, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse. We're about to discover something here about revelation, about having a renewed mind. If it's something that I continually must do, right? How is it then? All right, let's go to Romans 10, 17. I'm getting ahead of myself. Romans 10, 17. It says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? That word, W-R-D, in that particular scripture, we all know this, is translated rhema. It's a Greek translation, rhema. Meaning a fresh, live word from God, right? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a rhema, or fresh, alive word from God. This is key now. Faith does not come from logos or the written word of God. The written word of God puts us in a position to receive rhema, for it is rhema that gives us faith. Are you seeing this? So if it's rhema that gives us faith, then when Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking in Romans, the 12th chapter, the second verse, be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Paul is actually talking about having rhema to renew your mind. This is why people have taken the logos and have been telling themselves they've been renewing their mind, and their situations have not been changing. Because you're trying to take the logos and make it do only what rhema is supposed to do. What we've been trying to do is take, nobody in here, nobody by internet, is going to be, none of the men anyway. Women might try to bring it back in. But I promise you, unless you go to a 70s party, ain't nobody wearing no bell bottoms. Ain't nobody wearing no bell bottoms? No. You ain't gonna catch me in no bell bottoms. Not unless I'm going to a 70s party. And we trying to drag up some memories. Other than that, I'm not wearing no bell bottoms. What we've been trying to do with the word of God is put on bell bottoms. Instead of going to the store and get fresh new clothes. Something that's relevant, something that fits the time, Something that the Holy Spirit is telling us now. And so we've been trying to style and profile with bell bottoms. When bell bottoms have been going out of style for 30 plus years. I hope y'all getting this. It's a good illustration. So therefore, what we've been trying to do, that's what we do with the Word of God. We have current situations that we're dealing with. So what we're trying to do is go to the logos and calling it renewing our minds. Your mind can't be renewed with old stuff. So we have to take the logos, get in the presence of God, and let God breathe life into it. Go to John, the sixth chapter. John, the sixth chapter. Talking about your mind now. John, the sixth chapter. John, the sixth chapter. And the 63rd verse. Jesus is talking. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, or it is the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Watch this now. Watch this. Watch what we about to read. Glory to God. I'm just saying this. Watch what we about to read. The words that I, what? Speak. Not the words I have spoken. The words that I speak, present tense, they are spirit and they are life. Are you seeing this? So, other words, Jesus, out of his own mouth, is saying, the words that I speak unto you, if you allow me to use bad English, them their words, not all other words, them their words, them words, these words, them their words, right now speaking, I'm speaking to you right now. Whatever I said to you this morning, those words are spirit and those words are life. Not what I talked to you about yesterday, not what I talked about you last month, to you about last month. The words that I speak to you now, those words are spirit and life. Those are the words that renew your mind. Are you seeing this? This is why Jesus said in Matthew, the sixth chapter, give us this day our daily bread. What that means? Matthew 4:4. Jesus talking to Satan and said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, I'm not supposed to live by physical bread alone, but I'm supposed to live by the manna that comes out of the mouth of God. Are you seeing this? So if I'm not able to get rhema, or another, a better word to say for rhema so we understand it, if I don't get revelation on a daily basis, then my mind is not being renewed. And Satan is okay with us reading the word. He's okay with you reading the word. He just don't want you to get revelation. He don't mind you reading the word of God. He quotes the word of God. Matter of fact, sometimes he'll quote the word of God to you. But what Satan does not want you to get, he does not want you to get God speaking to you. Because God speaking to you is what revolutionizes your mind. That's what renews your mind. That's what transforms you. That's what blocks you from being conformed, is God speaking to you. Do you realize that in between the last verse of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, it was 400 years before God spoke again? It was 400 years. Can you imagine how chaotic it was in the earth realm without the voice of God being heard? That means no renewal was taking place. No revelation knowledge was taking place. Matter of fact, in reading Mark, the 16th chapter today, I discovered that if you want to be relevant and if you want to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing, you have to have already believed what he said before. So if I don't believe what Jesus is telling me now, then he's not going to talk to me tomorrow. Because it doesn't make sense. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Mary Magdalene, I think Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they went to the grave with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Now, I've never known anybody to anoint a dead body. Why were they going to anoint the body of Jesus? They were going to anoint the body of Jesus because Jesus kept telling them, I'm going to get up. I'm going to resurrect. They believed that. So they were going to the grave to simply keep the body fresh for when he came back. So watch, when they got to the grave, Jesus was already gone. He had already gotten up. But the first person he came back and talked to was Mary of Magdalene, whom seven devils went out of. She was the first one to the grave. Why? She believed. So she showed up. So he was the first, she was the first one. She was the first one that he revealed himself to as the alive Christ. Are you seeing this? Revelation. She didn't have to have nobody tell her Jesus. Now she went and told other people that Jesus was alive. But she didn't have to have nobody tell her that Jesus was alive. Why? She saw it for herself. That's the difference between logos and revelation. You don't have nobody tell you everything. Some things you caught because you've been spending time with God. Are you seeing this? Rhema or revelation is the thing that renews our mind. They got people all over the world that submit themselves to God. But they submit themselves to God and then tell God how he's going to talk to them. That's not really submission. That's having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Revelation knowledge is the thing that transforms us. Revelation knowledge is the thing that keeps us relevant. Revelation knowledge is the thing that keeps us from conforming. Not logos, rhema. Logos puts us in the position to receive rhema. So we can't take logos and try to apply to our current situation. We take logos to position us so that we can get rhema to apply to our current situation. I hope that's making sense. So submit yourself to God can't happen until you get revelation knowledge, which means God is overtaking my thoughts. God is overtaking my will. God is not my will be done, but thy will be done. God, let your kingdom come on earth. Not just the kingdom that I, in my interpretation, have you got it ordained in heaven is how I want it to happen here on earth. Are you seeing this? Revelation knowledge. Jesus said it is the flesh profiteth nothing. The spirit quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Last verse. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Stop trying to use the logos. Stop trying to use the logos and apply it to your current situation. Jesus said this. He said, his word shall, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. What Jesus was saying is, he said, my logos will always give you entryway into rhema. That's what he was saying. What I have said will always position you to hear what I am saying. Why is that so? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, Hebrews 13:8, I believe that is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he said yesterday has to connect to what he's saying today, and it will connect to what he's saying tomorrow. So the word that we have written will always lead us to a present day revelation that will always prepare us for a tomorrow. Are you seeing this? because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he has said will always lead us to what he is saying, and that will lead us to what he will say. Apostle Thompson said something yesterday, and we'll close with this, and it'll be a good 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and the ninth verse. It says, but as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So here we see that things are going to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Apostle said something yesterday, I'm going to close with this statement. He said yesterday, he said, Jesus has taken and passed all tests that could ever be given. And when he said that, the Holy Spirit said to me in my heart, and he came back and is allowing me to give you all the answers. So there's nothing Satan can bring that Jesus hadn't already passed. All we got to do is go back and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the answers to that test, the answers to that challenge. Now, mind you, why is the Holy Spirit so important? Because the Holy Spirit present day ministry is to be a revealer. He's the revealer. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love them. But it is revealed unto us by his Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit searches all the deep things of God. Are you seeing this? So when we submit ourselves to God, when we truly submit ourselves to God, we position ourselves to receive rhema or revelation knowledge. Rhema or revelation knowledge is the thing that causes us to be transformed. It renews our mind and causes us to be transformed. So I can't take the logos and become transformed, because I can't take what is old and try to make something new. Old is going to make stuff old. Remember the bell bottoms? We can't go to no party now talking about going and wearing bell bottoms talking about refresh. We're going to get laughed at the party. We got to go to the store, find out what is current, what is in style, and we have to put that on if we want to be relevant. So rhema, or revelation knowledge, is the thing that renews our mind and gives us the right to be relevant in our situations. Not logos, but rhema. If I don't get rhema and I try to take logos, then I'm going to be stuck in the past. The Spirit quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak currently, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Y'all have a good night. I'll see you all next week. Thank you, ma'am.